Let me bring in Marta Feely. Marta, good afternoon. Back to the issue which dominated yesterday's programme, which is safety and issues in Dublin city centre. Now, you were in Killiney in South Dublin, the Killiney shopping centre. Just tell us what happened in that incident, Marta.
Yes, towards the end of last week, I went up to Killiney shopping centre. I was standing outside Super Value with my back to a little cafe and other shops. We're looking at some flowers. The moment I heard an incident, a guy landed right beside me on his back into the flowers, okay, hitting my left arm, and I don't know how I hurt my fingers.
And
as
where,
well.
Where did he come from?
He just appeared from behind me because a guy had thumped him in the face.
Yeah.
And he landed in the flowers. But as soon as he landed in the flowers, he was up and beating the lard out of the other guy as well. So they were killing each other, beating themselves. I was so shocked, because I'd been a little world of my own, that I just stood there and I couldn't move. I couldn't get out of the way. I just was frozen to the spot, which really surprised me as a person, because I'm not a little wimpy person, and I was absolutely horrified. But then the guy who attacked him in the first place, so person two, picked up a chair, a metal chair from the coffee shop, and hit him across the mouth.
Wow.
So there was blood spewing everywhere. And most of the people standing around, as far as I can remember, because I was in shock, so I may have some of this wrong, but most of them were a mature age, from 40 onwards. And except one man, he was probably in his 30s, and he had a wee child. He picked up the child and he said, lads, would you stop it? There's kids here. And they were, sorry. But they went on, thumping the lard out of each other.
Time of day?
This was about 2:30.
Broad daylight. Age of culprits?
Culprits were probably in their early 30s. One was a very thin person, looked slightly emaciated, and my opinion was, immediately looking at him and his behaviour, that he was under the influence of some chemical. The other chap was shorter, very stocky, very healthy looking, well fed.
Did you get any sense that they knew each other?
Yes, I did think they did, yes.
Okay, so generally, tell me about Dublin, because you say, I've been to Los Angeles and San Francisco. How does Dublin compare, which was an issue that came up yesterday?
Yeah, the issue that was brought up yesterday was very interesting, because I think there's two issues. Definitely we have a very serious homelessness situation, which is one. But I think the one I'm talking about is lawlessness. And we definitely have that in Dublin, probably around the country, and certainly now where I live, which would be a quiet place. We travelled a couple of years ago to San Francisco and Los Angeles, and there is a huge homeless problem there, as you well know.
Yeah.
San Francisco homeless are, from my view, from what I could see, and I spoke to a few locals, people who were let out of psychiatric hospitals because they were closing them down left, right and centre, and these poor creatures were walking around the road talking to themselves. And the other homeless people were vets. They had legs missing.
Army veterans.
Yes,
yeah.
Army vets in wheelchairs, washing themselves every morning with bottled water. And myself and my sons, we were not afraid of these people. But I'm afraid in Dublin. I am afraid. There is an angry feeling. Actually, I think in Irish people generally, I'm talking about road drivers. Years ago, we were very polite. We'd open a door for somebody. I get doors slapped in my face all the time, and people cutting out in front of me in cars. And I've actually made an effort to let people out in front of me in cars, hold doors open for them. But very few of them say thank you. And it's not like Irish people, I think, to do that. So what's happening to us? And I just wonder, by doing what I do and speak to my sons about their politeness too, is I'm kind of trying to invoke, I think we need the broken windows theory, which psychologists came up
with. Which is zero tolerance.
The theory, yeah. And New York adopted it. It worked. Rudy Giuliani, it worked in New York. It was used in Massachusetts. It was used in Albuquerque. And every place it came in, it worked. But I think the police, our Gardaí, have an awful job.
Okay, but Marta, by the way, did they turn up in Killiney when the metal bashing, chair bashing ring fighters were fighting?
No, I did hear in the background somebody saying, oh, call the guards. But I think everybody was so frozen to the spot.
And how did that fight end?
Well, two women went up, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. They were from Northern Ireland. And one of them pulled one of the lads off the other. When she did that, then another man stepped in and pulled the other guy apart. But as soon as they let go in any shape or form, yeah, the two boys were at it again. Yeah. So they did get them. Another man stepped in and they did pull them off. And one was sent off one way and the other was sent off packing. And I mean, just life went back to normal. I was like, I was standing there like a zombie. I actually slid slightly down because I was shaking, and I went to, I didn't realise I was standing outside the chemist shop. With that, the lady in the chemist took me in, gave me a glass of water, you know, wanted me to take maybe some Panadol or something because she saw my fingers were hurting me. Now, fortunately, there was no serious damage done. But had that guy landed on me in the flowers, I was toast, like, because all those little flowers are on little made-up shelves. And, you know, it would have been a different story. And I'm sure he was very badly injured, the first guy. I mean, his face was just split open, pumping blood everywhere.
To get a metal chair smashed
into your face. At 2:30 in Killiney Shopping Centre.
No matter what, I now take your point, but anyway, was an ambulance called?
No, they just, get away, sent him off. They didn't, nobody, like we just, I suppose everyone, I'm not saying nobody cared about him, but we're so terrified, we just wanted rid of them.
Okay.
But it's, you know, there's nowhere to put these, if the police do come, what happens?
Okay, let's Dennis in. Dennis in Kilkenny, your point quickly. Dennis, please, if you would. Thank you.
I had a problem there a few years back, and I ended up having to move. Now, I got good help from one guy, but he ended up retiring. But I found the attitude of the parents. We approached them a few times for to get them to leave the house alone, and they said, under no circumstances will they go and restrict their children.
And you had to move, why?
It was the safest thing for us to do because...
But who was harassing you that you had to move?
Children from the ages of 8 to 12.
Okay.
And I approached the guards, made a statement, they contacted the parents, and one parent met me and told me the next thing he seen me on the road, he'd run me over.
So you had to move, what, from city to country or vice versa?
No, I'm living in a small village in Kilkenny, and we moved about... 2.5 miles outside the village.
Wow. And the guard, he couldn't do anything about this intimidation, no?
Well, the guard was, but I think he had a problem. There's guards out there, it's not that they don't want to do anything. They're frustrated because the system isn't there for them to do anything about it.
Okay. And is there a guard presence? Do you know?
Yeah. Like, Joe, I have a huge problem with the courts as such. You go to a court and you're convicted of something. The judge has to bring you back 2 or 3 months' time. It takes him that long to make up his decision. He's listening to the same evidence as the jury. And if the jury make a decision within a certain amount of time, it takes the judge another 2 or 3 months then to make his decision on that. And he's educated in every aspect of the law. He should be able to make his judgment there and then as well.
Okay.
Once
okay.
the jury comes back.
Okay,
but that's what I think, you know, we have nowhere to put these offenders, and we need to have places where they're whipped off the street immediately, and so that normal people, normal citizens can feel happy walking around their city. With these guys standing around drinking, I had German friends over at the weekend, and they asked me, was marijuana legal in this country? They saw a bunch of people smoking marijuana in Stillorgan Shopping Centre, openly, and puffing away like mad.
Well, it has been effectively decriminalised in terms of no one is sent to prison anymore, thankfully, for smoking.
I know.
Okay, Marta Feely and Dennis, thank you both. 51551. Des, back to antisocial behaviour. Go ahead, your point, please.
Yeah, hi Joe. Okay. Joe, I've been listening to the discussion over the last few days, and really I have to, you know, second or third or whatever you want, mm-hmm. what people are saying. I believe that law and order is breaking down around the city, that there are these gangs of young guys, and it's very, very worrying, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, and they are terrorising people. Have an example.
Yeah.
A client of mine who's a landlord has tenants in a house, and I won't mention the area, because it's unfair to the area. But they have written him the following letter Dear Joseph,
yeah.
I'm in the unpleasant, same name as yourself, I'm in the unpleasant position to let you know that we are moving out of this house on the 19th of July. The reason is that this area is not good. By the way, these people are not non-nationals, and therefore that's the reason for maybe the English not being perfect. The reason is that this area is not good. There are a lot of terrible kids around our home that sit across the street and put on loud music. Mm-hmm. They throw eggs and bottles at the door and the windows of the house. They also hit the door very loud. That means that, you know, they're banging, kicking the door. And I cannot have this kind of environment around us. We are scared a lot, so we have made the decision to move. Had we been told from the beginning that the kind of area and issues we would be dealing with, it is highly unlikely that we would have taken the house. So, you know, people are not just being intimidated around the streets, people are being driven out of their homes, Joe, by this carry-on. And there are no Gardaí around, absolutely no Gardaí, no foot patrols. And that's what we need so badly.
And do you know where those people are going to move to?
Well, these people have already had to send their children. They sent their children out of Ireland back home because the kids were crying night after night. They were so frightened.
Okay.
Sorry,
okay.
What was the question? Do we know where these people are going to move to?
Yes.
Well, these people may well, in fact, be they're looking around for someplace. Yeah, I don't know where they're going.
But they want out of that area anyway.
But they want out of that area. The area has deteriorated terribly, Joe, over the last year because there was a new housing development built very, very close by, and there were a lot of just a bad element moved in.
Mm. Okay, Des, thanks for that point. Rachel, Dublin is a no-no for you. Why?
Hi, Joe. Well, Joe, you know, I've travelled to a lot of different places and I hadn't been in Dublin for years. So I went up about 2 or 3 years ago for a meeting the following day. And I arrived in Dublin at 9 p.m, decided to go out quickly for a bite to eat because I was shattered, went into O'Connell Street.
Yeah.
And within about 5-10 minutes in O'Connell Street, I was accosted twice for money and cigarettes. And there were so many people in O'Connell Street who couldn't even walk straight. They looked as if they were high. I decided I'd go into a fast food quickly and grab something. I was afraid to go into a fast food by the look of the people who were in there. Quite frankly, half of them looked drunk, half of them looked high. I just felt there was an atmosphere of tension and anger and violence in the street of O'Connell Street. And I just wanted to run out of there, which I did. I went back to my hotel. I was terrified. And now I've been in Palermo, in Sicily, that, you know, most people would be possibly afraid to walk the streets there at night on their own. I never had a problem. I lived in Milan. I've been to various capitals. I've lived in various capitals. And I have never felt threatened in the streets as I have done in the streets of Dublin. Now, I had a repeat experience about 12 months after that. I had missed my last train.
Okay.
Back to Cork, and I quickly had to look for a hotel and found one, but I had to take the Dart to reach the hotel. I can't remember the name of the hotel now. I got the Dart, but while I was waiting for the Dart, oh my good Lord, the aggression in the streets. I was with, I stood near another man, and he said to me, it's always like this. This was just outside the, oh, what's the name of it, Houston.
Houston Station, okay. And we had calls about the plaza outside Houston Station yesterday. Okay, Rachel, stay tuned because there's a litany of people agreeing with you. 51551.